Hello, everyone. It's time again to talk Ann Arbor area prep hoops with your Coach Speak podcast crew, Derek Seidel from Napoleon, Josh Trope from Chelsea, and yours truly, Matt Seidel from Olivet, all head boys basketball coaches at their respective schools. Hello, everybody. It is Wednesday, March 16th, and we are back on the pod. Unfortunately, we're back on the pod. We all wish we were too busy right now, getting our basketball teams ready for quarterfinal round and coming out of the regional, but that did not happen for any of us. So we've just been engulfed and diving into a bunch of live streams and licking our wounds for a week, but we're back. We've been watching a little bit of basketball. Before we get started though, boys, how you doing?
I'm hanging in there. You know, it's definitely weird to adjust to having time in your evenings again. You know, you go from November through March, you know, and you're just busy every single day. And I prefer it that way. And now it's like, I get done with school and I just kind of like float around for a little bit and then just end up at home with nothing to do. It's kind of weird. It's nice to relax for a little bit, but I'll be going crazy soon enough.
Yeah. I mean, from that aspect, you're right, Derek. It is tough, right? It's an adjustment, but I will say if there's a week to do it, it's this week. I mean, we got the play-in games last night and tonight. We got our Bryant Bulldogs that just got knocked out with everybody's favorite player in America. And then we got the NCAA tournament tomorrow. Michigan at noon, down their point guard, and all of a sudden the underdog against Colorado State. And then, the tournament takes off. We got Notre Dame about to tip off. I'll probably have to miss most of the first half here because of the podcast, but that's all right. And you got the tournament this weekend. It's a great weekend. If there's a time to have downtime, this is it.
Very true. Very true. Well, hey, we've got basically had three teams that we want to talk about today that we've actually the last two nights had a chance to watch. Again, watching them on live stream. Actually, Josh, you watched one of the boys' games live on Monday. But let's start on the girls' side. We still hanging on. The only local team that's still playing basketball right now, but it's a good one. And that's Arbor Prep. They are headed to the Breslin Center with their outstanding lineup. And I mean, you got to argue that they're probably the favorite to win it all in Division III. They're coming off a regional championship. They beat Dansville 69-51 the other night. Very good. CMAC, by the way, Dansville's like the third place team in that league. You know, they got Fowler and Portland St. Pat, two Division IV powers. Dansville had a good year, but I watched that game. They're a pretty good team. But anyway, Arbor Prep, they are, this is the first time I had a chance to really watch them since last year when they played Grass Lake in that postseason game. And did either of you guys get a chance to check them out at all the other night?
I was at Dansville in person watching the end of the Bath game and then obviously the Center Clinton game. So I was unable to watch that game.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't catch any of it live, but yeah, I was following the score and everything on Twitter.
Yeah, Dansville did their best to stay in this game. You know, they're playing the 3-2 zone, and it is funny. It was 13-10, I think, after one. Arbor Prep was up, and Dansville hits a three early in the second quarter, and Coach Stein calls the timeout. I would have loved to have been a fly in that huddle, just kind of listening in, because it looked like it was a little bit of a firm timeout. And I went in the kitchen to get something to eat because I got to eat. I can't just sit around. By the time I came back in, it was already like they had double digit lead, like something had happened. So I didn't get to see what happened until I got to watch the rewind, but they just went off. They went full court pressure, looked like a diamond press. They turned them over a bunch. They had a sophomore who comes off the bench. Her name is Taylor Wallace. She, by the way, she's shooting 45% from three this season, not for that game, but she hit three threes in that second quarter back-to-back to take a two-point lead to eight, and she kind of sparked them, and from that point on, they jumped them, and they kind of stayed up double digits. Dansville hung around, but just wasn't enough. I'm telling you, Maya Petticord, we all know about her. We've talked about her a million times. The Utomi sisters, They're kind of like skilled post players, the twin sisters, you know. This Wallace comes off the bench shooting out the lights, but yeah, they've got Carrie Woods and Jasmine Chuck too, the other two wing starters that are just athletic. They defend. They're smart with the ball. They execute. I mean, this is really a fun team. They play. I'm not trying to be sexist. They play like a boys team. And they do things offensively that's very, you know, I think it's updated. They got a lot of college concepts that you see out there, even some pro concepts. If you haven't watched them play, you should. But I'm very impressed. Every time I watch them, I get more and more impressed. But I'm going to be surprised if anybody is able to knock them off. But I give them and Coach Stein a lot of credit. I think it might bring another state title to our area. It's not going to be easy once they get to the Breslin, but I think think they've got a chance. They're going to play Maple City Glen Lake, who is 25-0 on Thursday at noon. There's another 25-0 team. Kent City is alive. I was going to say
Kent City's the team probably that could get them. I think
they're on the other side of the bracket, 25-0. They're going to play Madison Heights Bishop Foley, who I think is like 20-3. And now Bishop Foley, Arbor Prep beat them in a close game in the regular season, but. Kent City rings the bell. They played Grass Lake last year.
I believe so. I thought they were the team that lost in the state finals of Grass Lake last year. Yeah,
they were. Yeah, and they had a few younger girls on that team that I think are back and still around. They did have a D1 girl that graduated a year ago, but obviously they're still legit. And they kind of, if I remember correctly, they took Grass Lake, you know, to the wire last year. So I mean. Whoever they end up playing, like you said, when you get to the Breslin, it's not going to be easy. But I'm with you. I would expect Arbor Prep to be the favorite in those games at the least. And I definitely am excited to actually check them out a little bit here on Friday and Saturday.
Yeah. So that's the girls' side, and we'll be pulling for them and watching. And like I said, the girls' Division III is going to be competitive. All the girls' basketball finals this weekend are going to be good. On the boys' side, let's start. You know, we kind of were, I think all of us maybe picked Napoleon to win that Michigan Center district last week, and that did not work out. Michigan Center really came to play. I know Derek's kind of grimacing over there, and they jumped Napoleon right off the bat, and just held them off the whole game. Napoleon kept trying to make runs, but Center answered every time and had a big victory at home, I might add, in the district final. And that was a magical week for them. 5 overtime win over Lumen Christi. They beat Vandercook Lake at the buzzer, and then they beat Napoleon, the team that had beaten them twice, you know, in the district final. Then they go and win Monday night to get to tonight's regional final game against Bath, a team from the CMAC conference, a very good team, not the champion. They were second, I think, in the CMAC. What'd you guys think of that game? I think you both watched it. Josh, you watched them live on Monday, and both of you guys watched the live stream tonight. What did you think of Michigan Center's effort tonight?
I mean, 39-39 going into the fourth quarter. I mean, you can't ask for anything else than that. In the fourth quarter, they got shots they wanted. They got a ton of open threes. I think they only made one. Hinkley made the first, I think, that he took from the right wing. And after that, I don't think they made another three that quarter. And they got good looks. They did some nice stuff middle of the fourth quarter. They ball screened the zone. Were able to get one of the twins into the middle of the paint. Were able to get some kick out, some floaters, different things like that. But they just couldn't buy a bucket. I mean, I don't know if they had more than 2 or 3 field goals in the entire fourth quarter.
We should add that Bath defeated Michigan Center tonight 62-51. That was the final, in case I skipped that. But go ahead, continue.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's it kind of in a nutshell. I just thought they really struggled to shoot the ball tonight. And I think, you know, Derek can talk more about this than I can throughout the year, but it seems like that was kind of their Achilles heel at times this year, their ability to consistently shoot the ball from the perimeter. When they shot it well, they beat people. When they didn't shoot it well, they seemed to struggle a little bit. And they didn't struggle much. I think they only lost 6 games on the whole year. But, you know, that was, if anything, that was maybe their Achilles heel. I can't say enough, though. You touched on it already. But the home court advantage playing at Center last Friday, the hot start, the incredible student section, that was what really impressed me Monday, was in person how incredible their student section was, how intelligent they were with the game, how locked in they were with the chants, the signs, the different things. They're basketball fans. They just don't yell and scream at people on the court. They really did a great job of creating great cheers and a cool atmosphere. But what a week last week. I mean, the memories they're going to have from last week, you know, I mean, you don't want it to end, but five overtimes against Lumen Christi in one. They had no business. I think Derek texted me at one point, they're down like six, and they have a JV guy hit a three in overtime. And then the tip in at the buzzer, which, you know, if you ask Corey Ray, might not have got in there. It reminded me of you guys being like Michigan fans complaining about like getting jobbed at Michigan State or something like that. But what a week for Michigan Center, though.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, they had a heck of a run there, and really, like, I know Coach Gaddy kept saying this in his post game stuff, and they were promoting this on Twitter too. But like how you were mentioning with their crowd was there, it showed up the whole week. You know, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the home games, and they traveled well out to Dansville, and you know, it definitely helped them in that sense. And you know, just the program that they've got going right now, it really extends beyond basketball. I mean, they made a run the last 2 years in football as well. And they just got good athletic program across the board, and they've got a winning culture. I think with this basketball group that, you know, just came through here, I mean, the two Cosmets are really just winners at the end of the day. I mean, they're not the biggest, tallest, strongest kids. Now, they're both very quick, and they're soccer kids. They can go all day long. So they don't wear down. That probably helped. I mean, literally Nicholas Cosmet played, and between Monday and Wednesday, he played 84 minutes, I believe. He played the entire game, all five overtimes in the full regulation on Monday, and all 32 minutes on Wednesday. And then he was able to check out at the end of our game because we couldn't keep it close. But yeah, I mean, just the having guys like that, you know, really helps this time of year. You know, they were able to make plays. And you know, tonight, I think it hurt them that they got behind a little bit early in the game against Bath. Bath hit some shots out the gate. And I think Bath going zone to open the game really slowed down Center. I mean, Center had kind of just been in a rhythm. I know they were definitely in a rhythm on Friday against us, and we were unable to shake them of that. And I didn't get to watch any of the game live on Monday because the live stream didn't work. But by all accounts, they kind of were in control of that game and in a rhythm that day. So I think it was a good move by Bath to slow them up. And like, they did hit shots throughout the game, but yeah, at the end in the fourth quarter, they just couldn't quite knock them down. But I mean, that was a heck of a run for them.
Derek, I missed the first half of the game tonight. Did they start out in a 2-2-1? Did Center start out in it like they usually do?
They were in the 2-2-1 early in the game, Bath broke it pretty easily. Now, they'd only got into it a few times because it was like Bath got up like 9-2 or something. So, I mean, they were in it on a make, but they didn't score a ton early. So the first three or four times they scored, they were in it, and Bath was able to break it pretty easily, more easily than most teams do, because they usually bother some teams with that 2-2-1.
Couple things. Want to add, Bath's last loss, I think, was to Olivet in their regular season, one of their regular season finale the last week or regular season. They lost by 9 at home to Olivet. I just wanted to throw that in there. And then Derek, you teach math, right? How many minutes did you say the point guard for minutes did you say you play?
Oh, you want me to calculate it out here, dude? I'm just throwing it off the top of my head.
You said 84, it was over 100. I think. I know you said 84.
It was over 100.
Three games of regulation is 96. So you're.
Like, I said 84 on Monday and Wednesday.
Oh, okay. I thought you said 84 for the week. Okay.
That's 52 in the five overtime game if we're counting, because all five overtimes make 20 minutes. So 20 plus 32. And you add 32 from the Wednesday game.
Okay.
And then he played like 31 against us, if you really want to add that last little bit there.
I think my hearing is going. I thought you said for the week, and I'm doing the math. Like I said, man, that doesn't add up. But yeah,
we'll have to check the tape, I guess.
I'm really impressed with Center. Like I said, Napoleon had an outstanding year, but they just ran into a buzzsaw, and it can happen in the state tournament, man. It just takes one time, and that's exactly what happened with them. So
before we move on to Belleville and Skyline, I want to say this too, and I think we all feel this way, and I don't think anybody says this. I know we do, but I think it'd be nice to say on the podcast as well. Travis Gaddy does not get the credit he deserves for what he's done in the last, 8 to 10 years at Center, however long he's been there. And I might be off by a few years, but it feels like about that long. You know, he's had a regional team before. This was a team that I, in my opinion, overachieved this year. I mean, this was supposed to be kind of a down year for them after they graduated a bunch of guys. And he just keeps finding a way to win. They're gritty. They're tough. They're well coached. They take care of the basketball. They play the right way. You know, they're going to rebound well. All those things that we want our teams to do, his teams do that. And, you know, for the longest time, you know, they were, their runs were cut short because of Hanover Horton, or they weren't winning a league title. I mean, it's kind of like the Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson thing. I know you guys aren't big golfers, but Tony Seidel will appreciate this. You know, Phil Mickelson probably have, you know, 12 majors if it wasn't for Tiger Woods, you know, and he, and be the greatest golfer of this era. Well, but he lived in Tiger's shadow. Well, Center, unfortunately, was in the middle of this huge Hanover run where, you know, maybe they didn't get the credit they deserve, but Travis does a great job. They're a great program. Maybe next to Hanover, the most consistent in Jackson County the last 8 to 10 years. I mean, has to be right up there.
Yeah, no doubt. I think he's the best coach in the area right now in the Jackson area. And I, you know, I think it's pretty good gap he's built. He's like, and looking at what they're going to keep it rolling for, his, you know, if he stays there, I know he's got a daughter coming, so he may move over. You never know. He could choose to try to coach her on the girls' side, but they got, they've built it up beyond just the varsity level. Like they got their JV is always good. They're always the top of the league in the JV. And that's why they're able to, it's not just, I guess I'm saying, it's not just at the top there. They've got the whole program built up.
Cool. Yeah. Speaking of Belleville, Belleville is on the boys' side. They remain alive after a huge win tonight in the, they're playing out at Novi. They beat Skyline on Monday. In a really close game. And then they defeated Romulus 59-48 tonight in a game that was much closer than that. That was a bunch of free throws at the end. That's the one I kind of paid attention to. It was, you know, it goes back to the days when the 1 year that I had with Nate and Josh at Romulus, the Belleville Romulus games, it brought back some memories of just how intense they can be. I don't know if that same intensity level was there tonight. But it's still a player's game. And there was, especially early, man, it's just back and forth. A lot of missed shots, a lot of block shots, a lot of adrenaline. Both teams eventually settled in and it became a really good basketball game. But Belleville made some plays in the middle of the fourth quarter that got them a 2-possession lead. And I think in Romulus kind of panicked and they turned the ball over and they forced some shots. And then Belleville just kind of put it away. I was really, again, first chance to really watch them for a lengthy period of time. You know, Mario Johnson, number 5, the lefty, they list him. I think they list him at like well over 6 foot. He doesn't look well over 6 foot. He's a couple inches over 6 foot, but he is he's really strong. He plays inside. He can get to the basket. He does all the little things for them. He's a really special player. They won a lot of games at Belleville, and he's been a big part of that. He did it inside and out tonight. He hit some key free throws at the end, but he's just under control and very smart and composed at the end. His backcourt mate, they got DeJohn Johnson, number 3. Those guys have been running together now they've been all league for 3 straight years. They've got a sophomore, Jalen Jenkins, who's out there. Those three guys, nice perimeter players. And let's not, he was at our showcase in the summer, Bryce Radka, the 6'8 center. He had a big dunk, but he also had this huge 3-pointer in the middle of the fourth quarter, top of the key 3. They swung the ball to him. Nobody was on him. He knocked it down with confidence to give him that 4-point lead. And I don't think they trailed. They were up 1 at the time, but I was just really impressed. I don't know how far they can go. I think Cass Tech is next for them. Probably in Detroit. They probably play. I do know they play at UAD Mercy, and that's never easy. But it's been an awesome run for them. They've won a league title, a district, and a regional. And this was a team that we kind of all had on our radar as a possibility of having a really good year. They've got a bunch of seniors, and Coach Trumpour has done a nice job with them, and they've held true to it. So I'm happy for them. It's gonna be fun to see how they do in the quarters, because that a Tuesday night in Detroit and the quarters on the east side of the state is just, it's first of all, it's a great environment, but it's never easy for the non-Detroit team to come out of there. So we'll see what they can do.
I got 2 questions for you from that regional. Yeah. Since you watched it more closely than I did. Explain to our listeners the 5-alarm fire alarm there on Monday. And then we need to talk about the Romulus Northville charge call or block call or no call.
Yeah,
or
whatever. I just am watching the live stream Monday, and I could have swore it was Romulus or Belleville's ball going to the basket, but maybe it was Skyline's. I just can't remember who had the ball, but somebody's like going to the basket, and all of a sudden you hear this loud sound. You're like, what was that? And then next thing you know, you see the light in the gym just keep flashing. Like when a fire alarm goes off, those lights start going off. Yeah, they had a fire alarm get pulled in the middle. I mean, I've heard of defensive tactics, but if one of those coaches sent a manager to pull the fire alarm because a kid had a bloody nose and they wanted to buy some time, I don't know what happened there. But that was I haven't seen that since Ypsilanti and Del Judas was coaching over there. Jeff Del Judas and I, we had like a 10-9 game late in the second quarter at Ipsy one time, and the fire alarm got pulled. And we just sat there and told stories to each other for 15 minutes because it was such a bad basketball game. But you don't see that every day. But yeah, that was interesting. The other thing, the Charge. So Romulus wins Monday night, right? They beat, who'd they beat? That's North. It was Northville. They beat Northville, and it's a tie game, right? They come down the floor. And the kid goes in kind of elevates and shoots the shot. And they called a block. It's either a no call or a charge. And I feel bad for the officials. I'm sure the officials have seen it 100 times. But you wish, God, can we have some kind of replay system? Because the season ended on a call that probably would be made differently 99 out of 100 times. And yeah, it was too bad. Is that the one? I assume that's the one.
Yeah. Yeah, I just saw the it on Twitter, but I was wondering. So
I only got one criticism of Trump Moore over at Belleville. Can he talk in the shirt? Him and Tim Kaine, I mean, they obviously came coach with him over at Belleville, and it nobody can like Trump's not very tall. He might be taller than you, Josh, but he's not much taller than you. His shirt is below his buttocks tonight, like it's below his butt cheek. And he's got to tuck that thing in. And it was unbelievable. It was so low. And he's prancing around. He was totally into the game. He's done a hell of a job, but tuck in the shirt. Him and Coach Kaine, same dress code violation. We got to do something about it. So we're just wearing a pullover like me. I don't tuck them in either, but I got a pullover on, so I don't have to. But anyway, that's my pet peeve tonight. But it was good. It was good watching him. So.
So let's talk. What do you guys got for the brackets? NCAA tournament. Let's talk.
Well, yeah, before we check out, let's do that. We have a little family bracket that we do. Immediate family and girlfriends and stuff. But I don't know. I'm Derek, who'd you go with this year? Who's your final four and who do you got winning it?
I did my bracket today at lunch. I probably spent a total of 55 seconds on it, to be honest with you. I just basically go through and I just immediately look at it, and like first thing that comes to mind, I just roll with it and just go through the whole bracket that way. I tend to overanalyze things. We can tell my dad here could tell stories about me doing that all the way back till when I was a kid. But so that's my method. I think I ended up with Arizona winning it all over Gonzaga, which is pretty chalky. It's kind of what everyone's got that as the final. But I did pick Arizona to win. I think I had UCLA making it to the Final Four, losing to Gonzaga. And then on the other side, I don't remember who I had. I don't think I had the one seed.
Yeah, did you have Auburn or?
I had Auburn. That's who it was. I had Auburn and the two seed coming out from there. I am by no means am I like dead set on any of that. But I'm hoping for my big ones. I'm hoping for Murray State to go on a little bit of a run. I want to see them beat Kentucky. That's kind of my.
Where do you have your Wolverines exiting?
So I filled out my bracket after the Devontae Jones news. So I actually picked Colorado State, but I may go back and flip that one. I may go back and flip it and have them win the first game. But I think they're going to struggle to get through the first weekend, especially without Jones.
All right, Matt, where do you have Alabama?
I've got Alabama winning. And then I think I've only got them winning one, though.
You got them losing to Texas Tech.
Why am I having a
that's what I got.
You might have to cut this. Yeah, I've got Alabama beating either Notre Dame or Rutgers, right? And then actually I've got, I do have Alabama beating Texas Tech just because I just blasphemy not to do it, but I have them bowing out against Duke in the Sweet 16. So my couple upsets I did pick, Derek mentioned Murray State. I actually have San Francisco knocking off Murray State in the first round, got a 10 beating a 7. The only other one of any significance, I think kind of a major upset would be, I've got New Mexico State beating UConn in the 12-5 game. They'll bow out after that to Arkansas, but if Arkansas could even win. Michigan, I had them. I do have them winning. I've got them winning two games, of course. You know, now I filled this out before Jones. I'm still counting on Jones being back for the Tennessee game if they can get by tomorrow. But that's my goal. But I think Michigan will lose to Villanova if they get that far. My final four: Gonzaga to play Kentucky. And I got Kentucky beating Gonzaga to get to the championship game. And I got Villanova playing Kansas. And I've got Kansas getting to the championship game. And I've got Kansas winning it all. So that's my pick. Josh, what about you?
Well, I have a ton of upsets on the way, but I'll give you my final four first. I have Duke and Kentucky, pretty much chalk in the final four. Duke and Kentucky, Arizona and Kansas. And I have Arizona beating Kentucky in the national title game. But I have a lot of upsets on the way. I have Alabama winning two games, and then losing to Duke as well. I have UConn upsetting Gonzaga. So you have them going out in the first round. I got them beating the Zags. What else? I got North Carolina beating Baylor. I got North Carolina, UCLA, Va Tech, and Kentucky in the Elite Eight there. I'd love to see that. And I have no Big Ten teams doing anything past the first round. And I even got, the sexy pick right now is everybody's taking Iowa to make a run. I have Richmond Spiders knocking out Iowa in the first round. Iowa doesn't guard anybody. And last week they got hot, but I mean, I think the three of us with two guys off the street could score 60 against Iowa.
Dude, you gotta lock in the UM hoops, man. Dylan Burkhardt's been all over Iowa. They have the best efficiency margin in the Big Ten out of anybody. They had it all year long. That's plus minus is the best all year. I'm just saying. So
no team that's finished out of the top 120 in defensive efficiencies has ever made the Final Four. I'm just saying. So
is that where they're at? They're outside of 120.
Ghost Fighters.
I have them making a run, but.
My other two upsets I did notice looking at my bracket. I have Indiana knocking off St. Mary, if you want to consider that an upset, but it is a 12-5. But I had, Josh mentioned, I have North Carolina beating Baylor as well in the 1-8 game. So we'll see if that holds true or not.
I think Baylor's a little banged up, so that's reasonable. We got to talk about Sparty. What about Sparty? What do you think?
They're not losing to Foster Lawyer, but they're not beating Duke.
Dude, I think that'd be so – I'm cheering so hard for Davidson. I always liked Foster Lawyer, even back – I was enamored with him back when he was at Clarkston because it just was amazing what he was doing, the way he would score 40 a game, just running constantly, hitting shots from everywhere. The Michigan fan anyway would just love to see him beat State. I don't know that they can do it either, but I'm hoping they do.
No, I'm with you. I for Foster Lawyer, I'd love to see him do it too. I just don't think that they can. Maybe I'm wrong.
Oh, they can. Michigan State can lose. Michigan State can definitely lose to Davidson. Come on, we all know that. They need to go down. They need to go down quick. That's all I know. That'll make my weekend. My weekend will be made, though. I'm going to go to the women's games on Saturday in Ann Arbor. I think that's awesome. The Michigan women are hosting, being a 3-seed. They're hosting two games Saturday, and then hopefully they're in the Monday game as well. To get to the Sweet 16. Josh, I know you're going to be at that.
Yeah, the Trope family has bought their four tickets for Monday night. We're counting on a dub on Saturday. We will not be there on Saturday, but we are counting on being there on Monday to celebrate them punching the ticket to the Sweet 16.
It's a great time of year. I mean, I was my plans were to be following Napoleon through the regional and maybe even the quarters, but that didn't happen.
How do you do that to him?
If the Eagles didn't advance, but I knew we didn't advance after we lost on Wednesday. But Josh, I was not thinking I was going to be following you through the regionals, but that's because you played the University of Williamston a little bit early in the tournament. So, but anyway, good talking basketball. We'll have to get on at least one more time during the state tournament and talk about some more live streams. I know I'm going to the semifinals, the A and B semis. I think Derek and I are going to go on the 25th, that is. Josh, are you going to anything? You going to be there?
I'm not allowed to go. That is our last day before spring break, so we're not allowed to take that day off of work. So I will be, live streaming it after school, of course, not during school, but after school, I'll be live streaming those games.
I think you were supposed to buy lunch that day, but of course, you're not going to do it.
So. Yeah, I'll have to make that up to you. Amazing. Well, we go on our spring trip to either Villanova or Arkansas, then I'll buy lunch.
I'm in. Derek's in too, whether he likes it or not. So, okay. All right, everybody. Have a good one. We'll see you next time.